This is Normie from ZombieCast and Knuckleballer Radio, and you're listening to Sean from Horribly Awkward.
This is Aaron from The Hollywood Outsider, and thanks for listening to Horribly Awkward. You're going to feel uncomfortable when this is all over.
Hey, thanks for listening. This is Jesus Gonzalez from the Horrible Gamers Podcast, and you're listening to IAMS on Horribly Awkward, motherfucker.
This is Scott with the Gaming Outsider Podcast, and you're listening to Horribly Awkward. It's not horrible, but it definitely is awkward.
Hey, this is Faye at Faye Plays on Twitter, and this is Horribly Awkward.
This is Inspector Gidget from the XD Experience. You should totally check out Horribly Awkward. Sean is the man.
Oh, crap. Oh, wait, where am I? Why am I on an airplane? Wait, Rachel? Rachel Drummond? Why am I on an
airplane? You're going my way?
Why are we on an airplane?
I'm going on a holiday to Zimbabwe. But, are you going there?
You know, I'm afraid to fly till I get here. Did you roofie me?
I didn't think you'd notice.
Which way are we going? Are we going to the States or are we going to Australia? I'm scared.
No, we're going to Africa. We're going on safari.
Oh, wow. Can we stop by the Oh, I'd love to see the pyramids.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's only a short detour. Fine.
Yeah, but I'm just scared about how I got here on the plane. I just wake up on a plane, like, here's Rachel Drummond next to me. Hey, this is fun, exciting, and I'm scared.
Oh, I just told the flight attendant that you drank too much last night. She helped me get you aboard.
Oh, well, I'm a big guy. I weigh 185 pounds. How'd you guys carry me onto the plane?
You didn't. That's why we have wheelchairs.
Oh, wow. Oh, wait, I am in a wheelchair. Why am I in the middle of the aisle?
You're also tied on because you kept trying to get out of it while we were looking.
Turning into a hostile situation. Well, while we're chilling here, we might as well just, you know what? I got my phone with me. I got my portable mic. Let's just record a podcast.
Okay, why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
But how many hours between here and Zimbabwe?
I don't know, but let's get awkward. Let's get horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
That's horrible.
I can't even control myself. It's so horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward. Sean, dude, you're horribly awkward.
Sean, I know you think this is weird, but it's not as weird as you think it is, dude.
Don't think that it's awkward.
Welcome to the 11th episode of Horribly Awkward. I am Sean Fuller, as always, another podcast and another super awesome, amazing guest. First and foremost, I just want to thank you for listening, downloading, or streaming the show. You can rate me on iTunes, you can rate me on Stitcher, give me a thumbs up. You can find me on Twitter. Yeah, I'm on the Twitter doing the Twitter thing and Facebook, blah, 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 blah. I also have a voicemail, 510-600-3475. That's 510-600-3475. That is not my personal number, so I will not answer it. It'll go straight to a voicemail, and you can leave a voicemail. Today, I actually have three voicemails, one from Normie Late, that we all know, Miss Normie Latte, and also from John Robinson, also known as Monster John. So I have a couple voicemails. I will play them in a little while. But let's get to who is on the show today. I am very excited. All the way from Australia. Wow, this is going to be amazing. Miss Rachel Drummond, author of Self-Forsaken. Also known as Hey, Rachel DR in the All Games chat. What's up, Rachel?
Good. Coming to you from the future. And it's a lovely day today.
I know it's so hard for us, like, okay. Okay, let's do a podcast. What time zone are you in? What time zone are you in? Oh, I'm in the States. Well, okay, there's three different time zones there. You're in Australia. There's many different time zones there. You're like, okay, so what time is it right now? It's midnight. What time is it for you? It's this time.
It's way too much maths.
I know. I suck at math. You know what? I'm a numbers guy, though. I found out today. I'll talk about this in a little while. I actually wrote this down. I'm like, I think I'm fascinated with numbers.
Fascinated in what way?
Fascinated in weird ways. Like when I'm playing a game on my PC, I have to have the frame rate counter going so I can constantly look into the corner and see like the numbers like move and show me exactly like what frame rate I have.
Gaming is different. I mean, I didn't know anything about percentages until I started playing Fallout.
Yeah, you didn't know anything about what?
Percentages, the VATs.
Oh, the VATs. Yeah, the VATs. Oh, you playing Fallout 4 as well?
Not 4 yet, no.
Yeah, Fallout 4 is weird too because when as it slows down time, the percentages slowly move as the enemy moves. So they change, yeah. But I mean, like, But like I'm always fascinated by how many hours I have in a game. I love to look at stats. I like to look at numbers of how many hours I've listened to Stitcher podcast and like numbers on a YouTube video or numbers on a podcast and Twitter followers and I don't know, some about numbers, but I suck at math.
So you like the numbers, you just can't do anything with them. That's fine.
I like the numbers, but I just can't do anything with them. Yes, exactly. That's a good way to look at it. I appreciate that. So how are you doing, Rachel?
I'm good. I've been working on the next part of my book, so it's kind of in between that and her work. I don't really have a social life at the moment, but I'm happy with what I'm doing.
Social life's way overrated.
It is. Plus, why go outside when you can have a social life online?
Yeah, there's no production in it. You go out with your friends, you drink, you have some fun. You go to a theme park, you go, I don't know, what do you guys do in Australia? Do you hunt kangaroo?
No. Not allowed, as much as they're good in. We actually have got, just on theme parks, and it's a bit off topic, I know.
There's no topic. We have no topic on this podcast. Honestly, you just say what you want to talk about.
It's my sandbox. We've actually got great theme parks up in the Gold Coast, but that's like a day's drive away. But rumor has it that in my backyard, they're planning on doing a horror theme park.
What?
I know. And it's something that apparently they've done in New Zealand with great success. So if they bring it here, I'm going to be so excited.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I do the Horrible Gamers podcast as well. And one of the guys, Rob, who's on the podcast, another one of our hosts, he's from New Zealand.
Oh, maybe he knows about that.
You know what, to be honest with you, I don't think he'd give a shit like about anything about horror or anything. So I don't think, even if he knew about it, he probably wouldn't tell me. I'm going to ask him, though. I'm going to write this down. Horror theme park. I'm going to write this down for him. I'm going to ask him because, yeah, that sounds like, what does that mean, a horror theme park? Is it like a big haunted house?
I think so. I really think so. From the bits and pieces that I've picked up, tell him he needs to go through it with a GoPro.
Yeah.
And then review it. See, it's homework. He has to do it.
Oh, he definitely will not do that. I promise you that right now. He'll go, fuck off. All right. Okay, man. Yeah. You won't do nothing like that.
I actually might. If they open it, I will.
That would be awesome to see that kind of stuff. I'm fascinated just by the idea. I don't know what you mean. Is there like roller coasters and stuff happens?
No, I think it's just like a huge haunted house, like you said. Like, there's been rumors about it for a while, and it's just recently started being in the newspaper every now and then. So it must be happening because, you know, newspapers wouldn't lie to us, would they?
No, definitely not. You know what? I'm afraid of – I love horror movies. I've grown up on them. It's my favorite genre of movies when they're done well. But I'm afraid to go to haunted houses. I don't like to be scared in person by somebody else. I have a feeling they're laughing at me.
Oh, I had a holiday up in Las Vegas, I think it was, and we went through a creepy haunted house kind of thing there because it was around Halloween. And I couldn't help it. I just kept bursting out in laughter. It seemed so tacky and fake.
Yeah, but are you with friends?
I was with my sister, who was just as bad as I was.
Yeah, that makes it kind of fun. When you're a bunch of guys together, everyone's like, yeah, you know, I'm hard, I don't get scared, and I'm a guy, guys don't get scared, and when somebody scares you, you feel like, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, everyone's making it funny, and like, oh, you got scared, you little pussy, and then, I guess I can see it being fun.
Yeah, I like going to places that could potentially, theme parks scare me. Those rides that go upside down, that's what terrifies me.
Really?
Yeah, but I would force myself to go on them.
I love roller coasters. It's been a long time since I've been to a theme park, but all I remember is as I got older, since I'm like 6'1", which is not terribly tall, it's pretty average for the tall person, it's like very uncomfortable on most roller coasters, trying to like cram your legs in there.
Oh.
Mm. But it's still fun. You're only on there for like 2 minutes. What's the difference?
I'm hoping to get up to America again next year, so I do want to go to the parks up there again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw your Twitter post saying you're going to come, and Normie wants to meet you. She's like, yeah, you got to come meet me. So.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to meet as many people as I can. I'm going up with friends at the moment, but I've got a backup plan just in case it falls through. Just in case.
Where are you going? Are you going to the East Coast?
I'm hoping to go up to Salem for Halloween. That was the plan when I went up there 2 years ago, and I never got – I wasn't there in time. But I'd love to go to Salem Mass at Halloween and then go down to – is it Universal Studios? It turns it into a huge horror Halloween big bash thing.
Universal Studios Florida?
Yeah, one of those theme parks does it, and I want to go to that. And then I've got family in California, so I've got to go and say hi to them.
Yeah, that's where I am. I'm in California.
Oh, and I have to – if I'm going, there is no way I'm missing Evil Dead the Musical again. I love that so much.
Well, I missed it. What did you say?
Evil Dead the Musical.
Oh, yeah. My roommate just went to that a couple months ago.
Last time I went, I sat in the splatter zone, and I had the best time. I've got to go again.
Wow. Where does your family live in California? What part of California?
Thousand Oaks.
Thousand Oaks. I don't know where that's at. That sounds like a made-up name on a movie, like Thousand Oaks, and that's where all the horror stuff happens and people die. Or you know what it sounds like is a, I'm sorry if it is, but it sounds like an old person's home, Thousand Oaks, old people home.
No, they're not actually. That's my cousins in Thousand Oaks, and then their parents live in Moore Park.
Thousand Oaks, California. Let's see, Thousand Oaks. Where is
just making sure I'm not making this up.
No, I'm trying to see where it's at. I don't think I've heard of this about the city. Doesn't want. Thousand Oaks is Moore Park. I don't know where any of these areas are. Where is this? This is crazy. Oh, it's Wade. Oh, no. It's not that far. It's down kind of by LA, huh?
Oh, then we'll have to catch up when I'm there.
Yeah, I'm in Fresno. How far is it from there to there? I don't know. I can't do this stuff on the internet.
So trains are full.
It's about 4 inches on my computer.
4 inches.
It's about 4 inches.
Well, that's not far at all.
But if I zoom out, it's only like a centimeter. If I zoom out far enough, so.
Keep going, and we'll be right next to each other. It's no problem.
Yeah. So I was doing some research because I don't know much about Australia, but I was like, I want to learn some stuff about Australia before Rachel gets on, so I don't feel like a dummy because I'm a dummy. This is the first time we've spoken in person, other than a little bit on like ZombieCast chat, you know, live when they do it. But I'm a dummy. You'll realize that pretty soon here. So I was looking on. I was like, "What is Australia famous for?" Let's look at some of the stuff. I did recognize the Sydney Opera House. Like, yeah, I know I've seen that.
The only thing Sydney's got going for it. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that too loud.
Ooh, let's erase. Let's rewind. Okay. Sydney Opera House. Have you ever heard of that?
Vaguely, yeah.
What about Vegemite? Tell me about that. I'm honestly curious.
Vegemite is something that has a really bad rap over there, I know, and that's because you guys always use it wrong. If you go to get Vegemite, the real stuff, you got to put it on really, really thinly. If you put it on too much, it's not Nutella. It's just something for a really salty, Moorish kind of breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, you know what I've heard talked about that is Jim Jeffries.
I think what's his face, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman tried to do a tutorial on it as well, didn't he?
A tutorial on Vegemite?
Well, we've got to get it out there somehow, don't we?
Yeah, that's amazing. I know I've heard the name and I was looking, I was like, concentrated yeast extract. I was like, those three words just do not like go into my brain and come out with a good idea. I don't know.
And you got to put it on really, really thin so you can still see the butter that's still underneath it.
So I also hear you guys don't have dogs. You guys have koalas as pets.
Yeah, that's right. My koala's crawling around the floor right now. It's a border collie breed of koala.
Yeah, border collie. Nice. Yeah. Have you ever seen a koala in the wild?
I have actually. They're not so nice.
Oh, they're not, are they? Are they really like? Do they really drop out of trees on your head?
Yeah, and then attack your throat. No, they don't. We don't have drop bears. We've got our koalas actually have a medical condition. most of them actually do have a non-contractable form of syphilis to humans.
What?
Don't ask me how that happened, but they do. But they do not like people getting too close, and they've got claws that enforce the fact.
But they're so cute.
They're great in pictures or in zoos. Zoos are great too.
Yeah.
They're quite big too. Like One of my friends actually had a photo on Facebook holding one up that was in the backyard. Obviously, it had fallen into the pond and everything, and so they had to pull it out. It was hanging from mid-chest down to their knees. It was huge.
Wow. They seem so awesome. Like, if I had a dream pet, it'd be a koala, but now I know it's going to strike me and bite out my neck.
Well, not if it's tame. I mean, the ones in zoos that all the celebrities cuddle, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be giving them to celebrities if they were going to chew on your neck.
Yeah, I guess. That is definitely true. Well, you see people, like, hold alligators and crocodiles, too, so...
Yeah. You know,
like, I'm not doing that. No, keep that away. I love reptiles, but I'm not holding no crocodile.
You can do that in Florida, though.
You can hold crocodiles?
Yeah. We did part of the swamp tour as our tourist attraction thing, and we held the baby crocodile.
Wow. Oh, yeah, a baby one. But I'm talking about, like, people hold, like, 100-pound crocodiles.
Yeah, but they usually either dead or tied up.
Oh, yeah, they put those, like, invisible rubber bands around their face so you can't really see them. So, okay, here's another thing I have. Okay, so in the States, we have the Outback Steakhouse. Do you have the Outback Steakhouse in Australia?
You know, I didn't think we did, but I went up to Sydney the other day, and we've got one.
Oh, really? I thought it was just like, here's our version of Australia.
Because I went to the Outback Steakhouse in America. That's the impression that I got, too. But, I was really surprised when I saw one up there.
Yeah, that's a good place to eat. I don't eat there. I don't want to spend that much money on food, but...
You don't spend that much money on that kind of food.
Yeah, I love going out and eating food, but I don't like spending $30 on food. It's just too much. I don't know what $30 is equal to in Australian money.
I think it's actually about, at the moment, probably about 50, 40.
Would that be too much for you to go spend on a meal?
Yes, I'd rather go to Safeway, grab a good chunk of steak, and chuck it on the barbie.
Yeah, you know, say that again. That was beautiful.
What? What?
Just chop it up on the barbie.
Chuck it on the barbie, yeah.
Here's a question, Rachel, I have. This is an honest question. Okay, so Americans love accents, especially me. I love Australian accents, you know, New Zealand. I love Indian accents. It's sexy. Okay, when Australians hear American accent, is it an accent or is it just like somebody talking and sounding dumb?
No, it's definitely an accent. I don't have an accent to me.
Yeah, I get that, but it just seems like if you guys hear Americans talk, you just sound like dummies.
I like the American accent.
What's that?
I actually quite like the American accent.
I love
hearing people's accents.
I love Australian accents. It's one of my favorite. And I always wondered if an Australian, someone from Australia heard an American speaking, does it sound like an accent or does it just sound like, I always thought you guys are just like, oh, these dummies.
Yeah, it sounds like someone's turned the TV up too loud.
Oh, what?
Well, because about, 80% of our programs is American. So we're used to it because it's always in our ears. But I still love hearing it in person. It's always different.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess that makes sense. I mean, if you go down like Texas and Tennessee, they have that southern drawl, and it sounds, you know, I can't do the impersonation, but it sounds much different than me. I just sound like a dummy talking, I guess. And someone in New York has that like New York accent. I can't do accents. I'm terrible.
My aunt, who is the one that lives up there, we talked to her on Skype the other day, and she's getting more of an American accent. It was weird talking to her because, like, every third word has got an American accent, and then the rest of it's all Australian, so it's just kind of a bit jarring.
Ah, and how long has she lived here?
A few years now.
Oh, just a few years. And if you don't mind asking her age?
She's a couple of years older than 62.
Oh, wow. So she's wow. Okay. You think somebody that would just be stuck in their ways and they wouldn't give it up?
No, I think she's pretty adaptable.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Did you know that the spork was invented in Australia?
I did not, but I'm actually not surprised. We're known for our laziness. We don't want to pick up two utensils if you can do it all with one.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing, right? Okay, what about this? Did you know that the selfie was the term selfie was actually created by an Australian man in a 2002 forum post?
Yeah, I believe that too. Well, everything is hyphenated here. You get come around here, no one's called by their names. They're all shortened in some form.
They're like, Ra. Hey, Ra. Raydra. Raydra.
I usually get Rach.
Rach.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I actually do that in chat as well when we're on the other podcast. I'll shorten everyone's names as much as I can.
Oh, you guys are lazy, son of a... I'm just kidding. So am I. I'm totally lazy.
It's conservation.
You know, normies know me for a long time, and she used to go like, hey, they, because I usually went in there with they call me Iams. That's why I changed it to like Iams the Horrible.
So they start with Iams.
Yeah, it was like, hey, they, and I wouldn't catch it at first. Yeah, I wouldn't catch it at first. It was just like they, like, hey, what's up? Normie knew me, Normie, I hope you're hearing this because we're going to have an issue. We're going to have to box this out. What other stuff did I learn today? Have you ever met Steve Irwin?
No, not in person.
I'm just joking. That was a dumb one. Tell me about what's a humble meat pie?
It's just a meat pie.
Is it similar? Yes. So it's similar. It's like a pot pie.
Possibly.
Pot pie in America, it's got like vegetables and chicken and our meat, and it's usually got some kind of gravy in there. It's almost like a soup inside of a pie.
Oh no, that's not humble. Humble is literally just pastry and minced meat with gravy. That's it.
Okay. That sounds okay. I don't think I've ever had minced meat. I'll be honest. Oh,
that's pretty much our staple. You ask for a pie anywhere, you're either going to get chunky or minced.
What does minced mean?
So when you put the steak through the grinder and it comes out in...
Oh, okay. I don't know
how to describe it. It's minced.
Yeah, I get it now. So it's not like a type of meat. It's just like
beef that's being ground down.
I want a humble meat pie right now. Hold on a second. I want to look online, see if I can get one delivered while we do this.
I reckon, I know that we've got it here. We've got about, I would say 70% of houses in Australia would have meat pies in the freezer, or at least in a 2-minute walking distance.
So you just have meat pies on just ready to go.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's way different. Like, it's weird how cultures in different, you know, in different parts of the world are just different. And here we'll have a Hot Pocket, which is just some junk. We'll have like a pizza, frozen pizza, which is not good. Or we have, we're just full of junk. Honestly, America is just full of junk food. Or maybe just me. Maybe I'm just full of junk food.
No. I found one thing. I found your portions really confronting when I went up there. Sounds like about 3 meals in one portion.
Oh, we eat a lot, huh?
I was looking for a doggy bag just so I could take it home and just have it for the next couple of days. It's all right.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like, if I go to a restaurant and eat and I'm not eating at home, like, I guess your average calorie count, you know, for the average person a day is supposed to be between, like, 2,000 calories, maybe 2,500. And it's like you go to a restaurant and you go and order, like, a breakfast plate, or you order a lunch or a dinner, and you're looking at, like, 3/4 of that. Of your average calorie intake is really in one meal, or even the full 2,000 could be in one meal when you go to a restaurant. It's insane.
Mm.
But I like to eat a lot.
Doesn't show.
I know. I lost like 100 pounds a couple years ago, so I'm very
mindful of what you put in there now. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very, very, very hard. So now I don't eat all day and I only eat one meal at night, and I make that one meal 4,000 calories.
That's it.
No, not really, but yeah. So Rachel, so you wrote The South Forsaken.
I did.
How long does it, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
There's a couple of questions off the top of my head. When you get into the mindset of, what makes you like zombies? Because it's a zombie book. What makes you like zombies? What made you think choose that genre over any other one?
I have to preface this by saying I'm very, very careful not to call them zombies outright. I mention zombies because in the dialogue it comes out, okay. But I'm very careful not to actually call them zombies because one thing that I've noticed is that the idea of what makes a zombie is so different to every single fan out there. And because it's such an individualized concept, I just thought I'd leave it open so that the reader can make up their own mind. So I've actually been billing it as a biological horror story rather than a zombie book. And oddly enough, people have, like, the people that don't read zombie books love it, and they'll actually get it because I don't call it a zombie book.
Oh, nice.
It's my sneaky marketing tactic.
I noticed you have, like, the biohazard, right? Is it like the biohazard thing kind of symbol? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's very mainstream in medical areas.
Now I'm thinking what this probably came from those syphilis koalas. One unlucky person got it, and that they turned into a unzombie.
I was really tempted to actually bring in a cross-contamination strain and then start infecting koalas and calling them drop bears. I really was. And then I thought that might just be too much. So I'll save that for the next book.
Yeah. You got to do some crazy stuff like that. That's fun.
Yeah, I can't give too much away, but let's just say there is more to come.
Yeah, tell us the whole entire story of the second book right now.
The entire story with the spoilers and everything?
Yeah, everything. Just so... So everyone knows what to expect. No, I'm just kidding. So what kind of how do you prepare yourself? Like, I'm going to write this book with non-zombies. Biohazard. What did you say? Biohazard.
It's a biological horror.
Biological horror. Biohazard. That's not right. That's close though. So you're preparing for it. Did you just start writing? I'm curious because I've never met anybody that's written anything ever. So. You're talking to a dummy who knows nothing. So tell me all the cool parts about this. So you just start writing down notes? Do you start writing down like little notes, like, and then you start adding them in as you go on the story? I have no idea how this works.
This actually started, like, this whole idea started because I was bored at work. That was it. And I had extra progress notes and I had a couple of hours. So I just sat down and started scribbling. So I had all these handwritten things of notes, and one of my coworkers just kind of snatched them and started reading them and said, you know what, you need to keep going with this. So I said, okay, that's fine. And I wrote that entire book by hand on progress notes, medical progress notes.
Oh, nice. I would have been more impressed if you said you wrote it on, like, tissue paper from the bathroom.
No, I'm not that good. I'll try that with my next one.
So you wrote the entire thing by hand? Like, who writes by hand anymore?
I actually like writing by hand because and this is true even in my uni work, I don't proofread things. So if I write it out by hand, I have to proofread it.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And it's very cathartic because you can take a notebook around with you a lot more easier than you could take a $3,000 laptop.
Do you have nice handwriting?
Ish.
Oh, that means you do. Because if you say ish, that means yes. Because you would definitely say no if you had any of
this. I have legible handwriting. I actually I sent up a signed piece of the progress notes. When I finished the book, I sent it up as a joke to Alfredo Torres, one of the guys that used to do a podcast up there. Mm-hmm. So he's got it, so he'll be able to tell you if it's nice or not, or ish.
I have terrible typing. I mean, I'll do text messages. If we're conversating on through a Twitter message or something and I mistype something, sometimes I'm too lazy to go back and I was like, she'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. They'll get it. So I don't know, like, I hate it. I hate it. I'm so lazy.
Autocorrect is not your friend there.
Yeah, Yeah, if it autocorrects and says something completely different, then I'll go back and change it. But if it's a couple missed words, like, you know, like somehow the word and always comes out. No, is it and or the? Something comes out weird. Like, it's some, I don't know.
Yeah, I've got swipe predictive text. So every time I type in you, it comes out toy.
Toy.
Yep, so I've actually got to go back and change that.
Yeah, why are we getting lazy? Why is everybody getting lazy? It's 2015. They should just start reading our minds so we can just type with our minds. Imagine how fast you can write a book in your mind.
Well, they've got, what's that new program? They've got the dictation software now, so you can just read it out.
Yeah, it just captures your voice and types it for you?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how well it works, but... Yeah, I meant you have to get to say blah, 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 period, comma. And there was a non-zombie, comma. But, yeah, it sounds weird. So how long did it take you to write The South Forsaken?
It took me about a year to actually write it all down and get it all finished. And then it took me another I did a rookie mistake, actually. I finished it off and then I didn't pay for publisher. So my first book that actually went out was so full of mistakes, it was laughable. So there's a couple of people out there with some very strange books. if there's one thing I would tell you, if you're going to write a book, pay for the editor. They are worth their weight in gold. I then sent it off to the editor when I realized, no, this is not good. I paid for the editor, got all that done, and the cover art through Permuted Press, who has been supportive and fantastic the whole way through. And then I put out that. That took about a year and a half to get it completely edited twice and proofread and the cover art. And then I had my book.
Yeah, the cover is cool. It looks like it'd catch your eye. If you're just looking at books, you know, it just catch your eye. The yellow and the black, it just would pop out.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what he does for the next one. He said he's going to keep it in the same vein while being different. So very excited to see it.
That's amazing. Honestly, I haven't ever talked to anybody. I'm so terrible at reading, Rachel. I'm so terrible at reading. When I was in high school and junior high, like if I ever had to read something in front of class, I would just take an F. Like I'm so terrible at reading.
Is that social anxiety? I had that at school. I was really bad.
Yeah, part of that, but I'm actually just a terrible reader. I'm just not good at reading. I look at the words and then my brain will start like drifting off and I'll start thinking about something else. I'm still looking at the words one by. What's that?
You sound like you've got dyslexia.
You know, I think I have dyslexia. I think I have OCD. If I go on WebMD, I'm dying of every disease.
Pretty sure that was made up by insurance companies.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just like so. I want to sit down and read books and just like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm gonna read a book. I'm gonna sit down and read it, and I'm gonna like. There's so much better than, you know, movies. I guess, I don't know. I like movies because all I have to do is 2 hours of my time. I just brainlessly watch a movie. But from what I'm hearing it from everybody is they like Normie was saying that she loves your book. It's awesome. It's amazing.
Yeah. I have got a lot of good feedback. I'm very happy with the feedback that I've got. And everyone that actually reads the book has come back with one exception, but she just likes to take the mickey out of me. So.
Aww.
Well, she does that, and she gets all hypercritical just because she knows me, and it's not a bad thing. It's quite good, actually, but, yeah, majority has been great feedback for The South Forsaken.
Yeah, that's amazing, and this is my first talking to an author, Rachel. Yeah, I'm going to play a couple of these voicemails for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Here's one from Normie. This is from Normie. She was super sick when she did it, but when she heard you were coming on, she's like, I had to leave a voicemail for Rachel. I'm like, go ahead. She's like, I'm super sick. And then I listened to it earlier, and I was like, well, you were super sick, but
aww.
Normie, we love you. Here we go.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Rachel. It's Norma. Sorry, my voice sounds terrible. I'm not feeling well, but when I heard that the awesome Rachel is going to be on your show today, I just knew I had to call and say hi. Hi, Rachel. I love you, Rachel. You are so awesome. I wanted to ask you a question. What is like the most awkward pickup line you've ever heard or ever said to somebody or somebody's ever said to you? All right. Ready, set, go.
Awkward pickup line. I have to say my lack of social life means that I haven't actually done that much, but I do remember one when I was up in America. it was just after I saw the musical, so I was covered in the red stuff they use in the splatter zone, and I was dripping from head to toe. And I walked into the bar, as you do, for a nightcap before I went back to my hotel. And a guy turned to me and said, Oh, I hope you're not on the rag. I'd love to take you back and check you out.
That's so disrespectful in a way.
I'm pretty sure he'd had a few, but I didn't stay in the pub long enough to find out.
I guess if you're at the Evil Dead musical, you're gonna expect some very crude humor.
Yeah. Well, especially when you walk out looking like you just had a blood bath.
Yeah. As for me, I've never had any pickup lines. Same way, I stay away from people altogether, pretty much. I never had any. That is horribly awkward that I've never had any. But, yeah, I have no cool stories. I want to go to the Evil Dead now and go. I'm going to go tell the next chick at the Evil Dead. I'm going to go there and see the girl. I'm going to say that same exact thing and see if I get the same response.
What, leaving you alone?
Yeah, it's just what? Okay.
Okay, no.
Later, dude. Here's some from Monster John. This is more geared towards your book. So this one's on topic. The last one was slightly off topic, but that's how it goes. I'm all over the place, Rachel. You'll learn that. I'm just
sometimes
like,
that make for the more interesting podcasts, anyway.
Yeah. Thank you. Here we go.
Hey, Sean. Monster John again. Thought I got a bad cold, so sorry for the voice. I hear you got the talented Rachel Drummond on this episode. I got a question for her. She remembers me from way back when. Hey, I was very impressed with her micro scale of her first book and a good way of getting her characters and her development going. Question is she going to keep up with that small scale character development in the second book? She's probably done with the second. She's probably on her third or fourth by now. She's very, very talented. Rachel, good to hear from you again. Good luck with everything, and hope to hear from you soon. Take it easy, guys and gal. Laters.
So I don't know what is small scale character development.
I think he's referring to the way I build up the characters is very gradual, and it's as they change. I'm very much into making sure that that comes across, which I have done in book two, yes. And I've introduced a couple of new characters, which I've done the same thing. I hope I've done them justice, but I've been working on that as well. And the characters that have already been presented and established still going through changes, as you would in such a changing environment.
Yeah.
What's going on over there? You've all got colds.
Yeah, we're right in the beginning of winter, so Everyone's getting sick. Even my roommate's been sick. He's been out of work for like 2 weeks. He had a bronchitis, strep throat, and pink eye all at the same time. But I guess I guess I'm a kick-ass dude because I didn't get any of it. And we have a small apartment. And just like he stays in his room, and I didn't catch any of it. So I'm like, hooray, yeah! Like my immune system was kick-ass.
Yeah, Mum swears by horseradish and garlic as a way of keeping her bugs at bay. Mm. I haven't had to tell her it's because no one's going near her to pass on their bugs.
Horseradish and garlic sounds delicious right now. But yeah, we have to be honest, we don't let the Australians know this, but actually the zombie virus has begun over here. We keep it on the wraps.
Did you cut people the fun over there?
Yeah, some of us get a little crazy and they get on voicemails and they let everyone know, but other than that, yeah, we keep it on the wraps. We don't want you guys to know.
Yeah, but I have actually started. I had actually finished book three. I had it handwritten in three books, one of which has been eaten by the dog.
Oh, no.
Four chapters in the middle again. But I've got to go back and do it. But it is almost done. I have got the beginning. I've got the end. I know what's happening. I've just got to pop it in the computer now. And book two is with the editor and should be released by April next year.
Oh, sweet. You know, I love character development. I would love to hear how your character development goes, because I love stories where one character in the beginning is, you know, can be. I mean, we'll take Walking Dead for just point of reference. You watch Walking Dead?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Carol in the first season was a throwaway character didn't give a lick about her. I didn't give any shits about her. It just seemed like some normal chick. Oh, she's getting abused by her husband or whatever, you know, sad, sad, sad. Now she's like the character. She's like my favorite character on The Walking Dead.
Yep. I'm Team Carol all the way.
Yeah, she's amazing. But it's amazing how you can do that with the character.
It's all on what's happening around them. I've actually got one of my characters, and let me just say this so it's on the record.
Okay.
I base them very, very, very loosely on people that I know. They're not actually the people that I know. I've been in trouble. I got in trouble for maligning someone that I knew. I didn't. but the characters, because they're very loosely based on them, I kind of take what makes the person that I know as I know them now, and that's them at the beginning of the book, and then I throw them into situations and I think, what would that person do if they were faced with this and they had no other option? And then I'll work around that, and then there'll be another thing back later on, and then I have to come back to the new character with the new decisions and the new actions that she's had to take and then push it further. So I love doing that. I love, you know, it's almost like my form of mind reading.
Yeah.
It's wrong, but it's
That's nice. It keeps it kind of personal for you. Actually, yeah. For the people reading it, they can try to figure out who these people are.
Mm. Well, I have been told that the person that I base that on, when she read the book, she was quite offended because she did something in the book that she would never do in real life. And I know she wouldn't, but it was a zombie apocalypse. It's not real life.
Yeah.
So I explained that to her. And then she went to a friend of hers who'd also read the book, who then came back and said, I loved that character. So she got to see it from both sides as well and, you know, kind of step back a bit and reassess. I can't give much more information on that because there's a couple of changes in book two that would be spoilerific.
Oh no! Let's know, Rachel. We need the answer. No one's listening. I have no fans.
No, no one's listening, huh?
Nobody's listening.
Let's just say I took a bit of a page out of a couple of popular books, and they're not everyone survives a zombie apocalypse.
Oh no! I don't want to see death in a non-zombie. In a non-zombie book, I don't want to see death. Don't make people die.
Well, it is an apocalypse. There's not much I can do about that sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. Death happens. Tonight on tonight's Walking Dead, just watch, you guys. Maggie and her baby are going to die.
I don't think so.
Yep, I know because I already saw it. Maggie and the baby die.
Okay, if you saw it, that's fine.
I haven't seen it. But we don't need two babies. We don't need two babies in the zombie apocalypse.
I don't know about that. It's very possible that they've learned from Judith.
Hmm.
And they had that in the comics. Oh, can I spoil the comics?
Gosh, I don't read them.
Glenn has a very important date to keep, which has already been hinted at with the TV show, and Maggie is definitely there to see that.
I have no idea what you mean, but...
That's all right. Everyone who reads the comics does.
Yeah. I guess, the comics, they change it. I'm sorry. I derailed. We were talking about the South Forsaken.
Yeah, I know.
What kind of characters you got in South Forsaken? Well, who's your favorite character? And you don't have to say who you base it on, because you say you base it on your friends or family or people you may or may not know. Who is your favorite?
I actually don't have one. And that's like when I'm writing, I find that I put myself into the character that chapter is their point of view. So I do this when I read. When I read books, and I don't know if it's true for anyone else listening, I put myself into their position. So I'll get into a book more if I can put myself into the situation and I can picture it and I can feel it and I know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I do that when I write as well, and I actually completely immerse myself in what's going on at that time. So in a way, all of them are me, I guess, instead of just one character. If I have to say one favorite, though, I would say just the one. At the moment?
Just get one. Just one. The one that pops out is?
Tracy.
Tracy. I love that name.
Because she's got such she's almost the gentle villain. Not that she's a villain. I've got a villain in there, but she's a gentle villain in that she does bad things for the people she loves.
Oh, that's a good characteristic.
Well, it is, but it's at the same time it comes across as selfish, and it does come back to bite her in the ass. But it's I'm calling it a gentle villain because she does bad things, and yes, she puts the group at risk, but that's because she's trying to protect her family.
So inside the mind of Rachel, you wish you'd go out and do bad things for your friends and family. We all get it.
Well, that's why I write books, so I can.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I should start writing a book and just have my character, I guess I can call him Imes, and he does all kinds of crazy things that I normally can't do. Like, I go out and meet people. I just walk up and go, hey, what's up? We're friends now. This is not uncomfortable. We're cool, and yeah.
I have to say, it's very cathartic writing, because you can always, if you have a really, really bad day and there's just one person that you really just want to drive a screw through their eye, you can go home and you can write about it, and you've done it without doing it, so you're not going to get in trouble.
yeah, that's a good thing. I'll start doing that. I'm going to start a diary. Is it weird for a dude to have a diary? I'm going to start a diary.
Not if the diary is a fiction about people that you want to, as long as you don't act out on it.
yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll start doing improv. I'll like get a buddy on and we'll do, hey, we're going to do a whole improv skit on, we're going to record it, make it into a podcast, and I'm going to say all the things that I wish I could say, but I can't say in real life.
Improv would be great because you can always put in like guidelines as in, you're this person and you've done this, now go, and I'm going to kill you. So I think that'd be great. It'd be like an audio drama. And then you can pick up on a blog and then tie it into your podcast. It'd be awesome. I'd subscribe to that.
Yeah, okay. Well, since you want it, then I'm going to do it. I'm writing that note down. What should we call it? The North Forsaken
podcast. Ian's Therapy.
I love podcasting. I love the fact I can get out here and talk with Rachel Drummond, who I don't normally get the chance to just sit down and talk to. And, you know, we're talking for a little bit, and it's fun. And I learn all kinds of new things about how you want to kill your friends and family.
Yeah, it depends on the day. Doesn't everyone have those moments, though?
I think everybody does. Most people won't admit it, but everyone has that tipping point.
I'm sure with Thanksgiving in your rearview mirror, you've probably had a few of them now.
My Thanksgiving's so relaxing. My brother comes into town. We have Thanksgiving dinner at my mom's house. I help clean up, and then I kind of just come back home and play video games.
I'm hoping to be there for next one. I'm hoping to be there from Halloween to Thanksgiving, so I'll have Thanksgiving with the family up there.
Oh, yeah, that's a...
I have to make a pav. I can make it by scratch.
That is a really... Start on Halloween and on Thanksgiving. That's like the perfect thing.
Yeah.
That's like a whole month, though. You're going to chill for a whole month?
Yeah.
We're gonna rub off on you. You're gonna bring it back, and you're gonna be contagious, and then all the Australians are gonna get dumber and dumber, and you'll see. Watch, just watch. Here's another voicemail I have from John Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play it for you.
Hey Rachel, question number two. My house forsaken. Book number one is kind of lonely, sitting on my bookshelf with all the other zombie books. It needs a sister or a brother or a twin or whatever you call the book number two. Let me know where I can find it and give me a good price and I'll pick one up. Thank you.
Okay, well, the good price in this book is going to be $1 million.
That's good for me. There will be one of both, a brother and a sister.
A brother and a sister and a friend. You need three.
There will be two more books after this. One, as I said, will be coming out in April next year, and I'm planning a big display for that. I've actually got graphic designers working on I don't know if you remember, at the last couple of chapters when they're actually leaving Geelong.
Okay.
Where have you read the book?
What's that?
Have you read it?
I haven't read it. I told you I can't read. I can't read.
All right. Well, I'll paint you a picture.
Okay, paint me a picture. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. They're leaving Geelong, which is a place where it's based, And on the road out, there's only one road that goes out in that direction, one main road. And I've actually got, because it's going into the territory of, let's say, less than sociable people, there is a avenue of honour, which is basically really at the moment, avenue of honour means trees lining a road.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of trees, I've got scarecrows that are zombies. So they've actually staked them up along the road as a warning.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I've got a graphic designer that's working on putting that together for me so that I can have that going up to the cover.
That sounds really cool. Like I'm totally envisioning that, zombies like up, pinned up there like scarecrows, but they're still moving around. Oh, that's amazing.
And, of course, the animals have been at them, so they're missing limbs and everything. It's going to be awesome. If we get it the way I'm envisioning it, it's going to look fantastic.
Like none of their legs will be there. Are there maybe up to, like, their waist because they've been eaten?
Yeah, that's exactly what one of them's been described as in the book.
Ah, that's really awesome. I
tried to be as descriptive as I could while still keeping it not gore-focused, not gore-centric. Like, the one thing that I wanted to focus on was survival of the group instead of, you know, then there was limbs flying everywhere. I wanted to put that in too, yes, absolutely, but I wanted to be focused on the characters that survive.
That sounds really interesting. Like I have the envision of it in my head. I don't think I've ever seen that anywhere else.
Well, I hope not. That's one of the things that I'm working on. I always have these ideas that I'm sure other people have come up with. And then people have thought, you know what? No, actually, that's not right. So I've actually, if I can give you a bit of a, I'm working on another series after this, which will be called the Eridu series, and it's a fantasy series. And I actually include something that I thought was historical, but apparently no, I've just got a very vivid imagination, where you've got a ruling person playing chess with a visiting royal person, but they're not playing chess with pieces. They're playing chess with people, which I know has been done, but they're playing chess with criminals. So if you survive the chess match, you go free.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. But what do you mean? Like miniature people? I'm not sure I get it.
As in people, as in criminals. So that's kind of, if there's any criminals in the cell, they chop them all out and they play chess with them. And if you die on the board, you die. And if you survive on the board, depending on the skill of the player, you go free.
You are twisted, Rachel.
I know.
That's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Oh, I just made it. No one can steal it. That is trademarked. That is mine.
Trademarked. It's trademarked. You guys didn't hear anything. Let's erase their minds. Your mind has been erased. Tick, tick,
but that
tick.
Is the teaser for the next series. It's a very involved series, that one.
You know, it's really hard to be creative nowadays because there's so many things that's been done. And even if you are making something completely original, it's hard to not second guess yourself. Like, have I seen that somewhere or is it something fresh? It's really hard to do that.
I've gotten to the point where I'm just going to write it the way I can see it in my head. And if someone has a problem with it or someone said it, then they can get in contact with me and I'll absolutely see if it's valid and change it slightly.
Hmm. Yeah. Or just tell them to F off.
Yeah, exactly.
Say it's mine now. F off.
I wrote it better. Shut up.
I think most of like the real creative stuff is in the small details. That's where you got to get creative.
And I think that's half of the problem with most books today is that they skip over the small details, but it's the details that actually draw you into the story and get the reader sucked in and make them feel like they're part of it. Like you can draw or you can write that it was summer, but if you write that the breeze was hot enough to scald your face off, or you know, the sun felt like it was baking you from the inside out. That is different, and it's going to draw you in. It's going to make you feel like you're there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like we're both gamers. You game, I game. What I find most interesting about video games also is the small details. When you're playing a game, if somebody walks by a rock, do they reach out and like touch it? Like Lara Croft, she rubs the rocks as she walks by, or kicks the sand up, or wipes her hair off. Like it's the small details that immerse you into a video game. Same as with a movie, same as with a book.
Yeah.
It's all those the small things, you know.
Yeah, the details make the piece.
That's awesome. Yeah, see, now I feel like a dummy. I just told you. Okay, you want to know how many books I've read? Can I be honest?
Go on.
I can count them on one finger.
What? What have you read?
I've read nothing. I can only count it on half a finger.
Not even a finger.
Maybe I do have dyslexia. I don't know. I'm so bad. I've always like forged my book reports in school, and I can't focus. I've never been able to focus, but I've always wanted to.
Can I tell you a trick?
Yeah.
Actually, and my mum has dyslexia, so I've had to, you know, she does this as well. If you get it online, and I'll send you a copy if you want to try it out on.
Okay.
Instead of having it at the size that you've got it, blow it up.
Just make it bigger.
Make the words about 20, size 20, and then you've actually got to focus on the words. And I know that one treatment for dyslexia is actually colored glasses, because it helps you focus on the words as well.
Huh. I wonder if I have dyslexia. I read word for word for word for word.
But do you skip back sometimes? Do you sometimes skim and then have to go back?
Yeah, probably.
It does sound like it. Well, it might not be, but it's worth a try.
Yeah, that's it. Colored glasses, huh? Like yellow, yeah. Orange, purple?
Yellow, apparently.
But I want purple.
Oh, I'm sorry. Get purple. We'll see if that works too.
Purple's awesome.
Purple is awesome.
Yeah, so everyone listening should go check out The Self-Forsaken. If not, you don't check out the book right away, at least follow Rachel on Twitter, at least find her on Facebook. You have a page for The Self-Forsaken, and you also have a personal page. Do you like people to find you personally on Facebook?
Both.
Great, yeah.
But if I don't know you, you've got to kind of send me a message saying, yeah, this is such and such, because I've had a couple of strange people.
oh yeah, it's Facebook. It's the social media.
So I've got, obviously, The Self-Forsaken, and then I've got Rachel Drummond as my profile, and then I've got my Twitter is _ Rachel Drummond, capital R, capital D, and I am on Instagram, which I'm trying to find right now. My Instagram is, I'm all over social media because it's fun and it's great for advertising.
It is, yeah.
It is _ Rachel Drummond again.
What's that? Yes, Rachel Drummond?
_ Rachel Drummond on Instagram.
_
Oh, and that's where I put all my convention photos too. So if you want to see what Melbourne conventions are like or Sydney conventions, that's where you need to go.
I was looking at some of those the other day. I've seen a bunch of people dressed up, a bunch of like there was one where you were sitting in like a wheelchair.
Yeah, I was Cruella De Vil, and we found Sweeney Todd, and we just kept bumping into each other, so we thought, you know what, we're two predators, let's get this done.
We're two predators, let's get this done. You know, yeah. You know what's about to happen, let's just do it.
We had the animals covered, and we had the people covered, so we weren't going to starve.
Nice. Hey, Rachel, do you have like another 20 minutes?
Yeah.
30 minutes max? Okay.
I've got all the time you'd like.
Okay, cool, guys. When you see this is 6 hours on the feed, just don't be alarmed. Just imagine when I start podcasting with people, especially I'm talking to you now that I finally like get a little more comfortable when we're like an hour deep. Like I just want to keep talking and talking, and then I'll make it like a 2-hour podcast. It gets too long at some point.
And you can just go back and trim bits that make no sense at all.
Oh, I don't like to edit like that. I'm too lazy to do that. That means I have to go look for things and listen to them in real time.
Very Australian, not too lazy. Whatever, son.
So, okay, I wrote down some stuff. Okay, here, actually, you know what? Would you rather? I got some would you rathers. Actually, I reached out to the Horrible Gamers community and asked them to send. I said I had you on a podcast to send me some interesting, fun ones. Would you rather? So these are the ones that they came up with.
Okay.
I'm going to find it. They may or may not be appropriate. We'll find out right now. Okay. Okay, so here we go. This is from Crystal Doherty. She puts, would you rather have hiccups for the rest of your life or always feel like you're going to sneeze but are not able to?
Ooh.
I guess that's a little vague because hiccups for the rest of your life, what does that mean? Like a hiccup every minute? Come on, Crystal.
Well, no, that has actually happened. It was in Guinness Book of Records. I think one guy had hiccups for years.
Ooh.
And I think hiccups just annoy the absolute hell out of me. So I reckon I'd have to go with sneezing just because I think that after a day or so I could manage the facial aspect of things there.
Yeah, but it says you feel like you need to sneeze, but you're not able to. It's that feeling of like, come on, like, come on, sneeze.
But I could almost tolerate the tickle because hiccups, if they go for too long, they hurt.
Oh, you're right.
I have to say sneezing. Yeah.
Have your Okay, you have a dog. Since you have a dog, does your dog get really excited and then get those hiccups?
She hasn't gotten hiccups yet, but she gets so excited that she wheezes when I haven't been home for a couple of hours.
I had a dog like a long time ago, and she'd get really excited, and then she'd just have the hiccups for a while, minutes. So hiccups. So I think I would have I'd have to do the hiccup. I'm going to do hiccups because that sneezing feeling is like the worst feeling ever when you're like, I got to sneeze, but it's not coming. I'm going to start blowing out my nose, trying to get the sneeze to come. Like, come on, come on, come on. It just doesn't work. Ah, thank you, Crystal. Hey, I got a couple more from Crystal. Crystal put, would you rather have Cheetos fingers for the rest of your life or have a popcorn kernel stuck in the back of your throat for the rest of your life?
Cheetos. Yeah.
Never ending Cheetos fingers. These are actually pretty good.
No, actually, I'd have to say popcorn kernel. Because you wouldn't be able to do anything with those fingers. You wouldn't be able to touch anything.
Yeah, you couldn't write. You could still write a book, though. You wouldn't want to type on a computer, but you could write and just, like, you know, keep that one nasty, cheesy pencil or pen.
Yeah, no, that would irritate me far too much. And because I'm a nurse, I just know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nurse Rachel. That's why it's Rachel DR. You're going to be a doctor or what?
No, I'm not a doctor. That's just my last name.
I know. It's good, though. It's a good connection right there.
Yeah, why not? I could actually go for my doctorate and be Dr. Rachel Durr.
Durr. It sounds like a song. Okay, that was dumb. Okay, so you're gonna take the kernel. I want to take the Cheetos fingers. What I'm wondering is it an unlimited like Cheetos flavor? Like, can I just suck on my thumb all day and get Cheetos flavor?
Sweat Cheetos?
Sweat Cheetos. That would be pretty cool. That would be crazy. Here's the last one from her. She actually says the words last one. Would you rather know how you die or when you die?
When?
Yeah.
I'd rather know when, because I'd rather have something of a surprise rather than if you know how you die, you wouldn't actually do anything. Like if they said car accident, you'd never get in the car again.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. If you knew when, you know exactly when, so you'd do whatever you want up to that point. Like you can even go skydiving because you know you're not going to die.
Yeah. Well, I can do whatever I want today.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you can mug me with that knife? I got news for you.
You're about to get robbed. Like, okay, you got that gun pointed at me, but I know for sure. Well, actually, you could still get shot, though. It doesn't mean you die.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm not dead.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a really good one, Crystal. And I would say I would probably want it, same thing. I agree. I would like to know when rather than how. Let's be honest, the most deaths are like natural. So, yeah, I guess when's more important. I don't want to know either, but don't tell me either, but.
Sorry, I don't know either. I can't tell you.
Okay. So Bryce Stevens from the Axology podcast, would you rather drink diet soda for the rest of your life or decaf coffee?
Soda.
I already drink diet soda.
I need my caffeine.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And you put okay then. Would you rather are you ready?
Yeah.
Would you rather poop soda or poop coffee?
Wow, either way there's something wrong with you inside. I wouldn't drink either.
It could be coffee. It could be no nastiness to it. So you could just like sell coffee.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't drink anything if it came out of me. Mm. I am not Bear Grylls.
That's how the zombie apocalypse starts. Somebody poops coffee and drinks it, and
I'd have to say soda just because it could be it. There is actually a description of coffee ground poop and coffee ground vomit, and it actually means that you're bleeding internally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bryce, for that visual.
blame the medical stuff.
There's a coffee in some country where they take the coffee beans out of some animal's poop.
The civet, I think, isn't it? Yeah, it costs heaps of money, that.
Yeah, it costs a bunch of money, and it sounds so gross now because the coffee's all brown and hot, and you're like, yeah.
And here I am happy with my instant crap. Oh.
It's all about Starbucks.
Yeah.
Do you have Starbucks in Australia?
No. But I have no idea, and I've actually wanted to ask, what is the deal with the red cup? Why has it become such a big thing?
You know, I have no idea because I've seen all those posts, but I've never really looked into it. But I bet you I could find out in less than 30 seconds. Okay. Hey, Josh. My roommate actually works at Starbucks.
Oh.
Hey, what was the deal with the red cup at Starbucks? I was just asked that question right now. I thought I'd relay it to you.
Oh, because they said it's anti-Christmas and they don't like Jesus and stuff.
Oh, they were saying that Starbucks is anti-Christmas and they didn't like Jesus.
It's a red cup. It doesn't say anything about Christmas.
It's off the cups. She said it's a red cup.
If someone needs Christ on a cup Christmas to feel like a Christian, then that's wrong.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's just
nobody noticed that the prices went up when the red cup came out.
No, and they raised prices when the red cup went up, and nobody noticed.
Oh, that's
because
sneaky.
That's funny. Yeah, it's just one of those things that people get hung up on. You know, there was in Japan right now, they had some big sale. Like we had Black Friday in the States. They have some big sale in Japan. It was a play off the word. I forget what the word was, but they said it was the big fucking sale. That was the title of it. FUCKIN apostrophe, and people in the States were flipping out about it. So Japan stopped it and took all the signs down and changed the name. Which is like what people are really. I don't know. It was a playoff of something, some tradition thing in Japan. But people here were flipping out about it. So people in Japan
had business.
Like, who cares? Like, it didn't affect. It's not like your kids are in Japan looking at the signs, you know. I don't know. People are sensitive, Rachel.
Yep. Way too sensitive.
Way too sensitive. Here's one that I wrote down. This is a very dumb one, just like me. My personality is dumb, so I wrote down a dumb one. It was like, would you rather lose the ability to read and write forever, or every food and beverage you eat taste like mayonnaise?
Ooh, I couldn't live without reading and writing, so I'd have to say food.
But your coffee is going to taste like mayonnaise. I guess you'd learn to like it.
I'd lose a lot of weight.
Because you can have just a cup of water and it'd be the same as if you had a steak.
Yep.
Not really. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same in your stomach, though. You still have to eat.
Yeah, nah. I couldn't say that it wouldn't be a quality of life if I had no way to read or write. For me.
I tried to make this one hard for you, but it was pretty easy.
If it comes to reading and writing, no, there's a no-brainer. Nah.
Yeah. I figured you'd choose that. It'd be like the same as if anybody put any scenario of would you rather do something or not be able to play video games. Like, oh, I'd rather do that other thing. Yep, give it to me. Give it to me. Okay, that was cool. Can you think of any would you rathers off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah, it's hard to think of them. That's why I went to a horrible game.
Yeah, you have to actually sit down and actually think about them.
Off the top of the head, never mind. I'm not good at thinking of anything on the fly. Okay, so I asked you earlier, I told you I was going to do two lies and a truth. Did you do any?
I did, and I wrote them down, and I've lost them.
You can make them up if you want, or you don't even have to do it. But I do have mine, so I will read you mine. And you could try to find out which one am I telling the truth about, and which of the other two just makes me a horrible liar.
Okay.
Here they are. Once I tried to help an old lady carry her groceries. She handed me the groceries, and she fell directly onto her face and broke her glasses. Number two, in fifth grade science camp, when I went exploring in the woods, I got lost, and I was actually out there lost all the way until the sun came up the next day because I couldn't see. It was too dark in the woods. Story three, I once got my shoestrings caught in the escalator at the mall. and I tried to pull my shoes off. I had to pull my shoe off before I got sucked into the escalator. And then I fell, I tripped, I rolled down halfway down the escalator. It was pretty embarrassing. There you go. There's three stories.
I don't know. They're all pretty... I guess the first one is true.
Oh, the first one is true. I was riding my bike with a friend of mine. We saw this old lady. She was really... I mean, she was like 80s, probably older. She was like very old. She could barely carry her bag. She had like three bags in each hand, three full bags. And we stopped on a bike. Say, hey, do you mind if we help you carry the groceries? We'll help you. And because she lived close by. She was walking. And she's like, yeah. She tried to hand me the bags and she fell. And she fell right in her face, broke her glasses, and she like cut her face.
Oh.
Yeah, no good deed goes unpunished.
Was she okay?
I don't think she was hurt, but we had to find out where she lived. And we went ahead and I took off my bike, went over there and tried to find her house and tried to find the people who live there. Like, hey, we were trying to help your mom. I think it was her mom or something. And they went and come pick her up. I think she was okay, but I felt so bad. Like, so bad. I tried to do something nice, and it didn't work.
No, well, it's not your fault, though.
It's always my fault.
No.
Do you have any awkward stories like that?
Awkward like that?
Anything awkward. Tell us something awkward.
Something awkward. Mm. I have many, many awkward things. I have to say... All right, this isn't two lies and a truth, but I have, and this is a common nursing thing, I have actually walked around an entire shift with shit on my pants. Mm. Not mine.
It's definitely not fun. I clean parking lots and trash enclosures out and stuff, and people just go, the homeless go in there and just take dumps on the ground. I have to clean it out with the pressure washer, and when you're in there spraying and there's three walls and like there's water misting on me, there's like, you know, it's hot water and human crap and it's nasty.
it's quite common in aged care because, you know, everyone likes finger painting.
what am I hearing in the background right now? Is that a train?
That would be the truck.
Oh, a truck. I thought it was a train.
No train. The train's far enough that I don't see them. So my two lies and a truth.
Go for it.
No, two lies and one truth. Yeah. So I can play the guitar. I have been bungee jumping, or I have 8 degrees of separation in two people.
What was the last one?
I have 8 degrees of separation in two people.
What? I don't even know what that means. You lost me.
There's a saying, 8 degrees of separation, and you know everyone in the world.
Oh, like the, okay. Okay, I'm going to take out, no offense, I'm going to take out the guitar. Is that fake?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not.
I'm not. Like, Rachel, you sound like you'd be horrible at the guitar.
I am horrible at the guitar.
I would love to play the guitar too. And bungee jumping. Okay, bungee jumping is true.
No.
No.
No, I've never been bungee jumping. I'm terrified of rides, remember?
Yeah, but still, you could have been forced.
No, I haven't, and fortunately have not, and hopefully never will be.
You have eight degrees of separation. Wait, I don't even know this term. This is new to me.
So 8 degrees of separation is the idea that within eight people... you know, or you know someone who knows everyone in the world, right? You're separated from everyone in the world by 8 degrees. So I cheat. my cousin has met Oprah Winfrey. It's actually on Joseph Oprah Winfrey. So I figure she knows everyone in the world. So I've got mine in two people.
Oh, awesome. I was thinking of that. Have you seen the show on Netflix, Sense8?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, everyone, like you can envision your bunch of people. Okay. You cheated.
I did cheat.
That was a good one though. Cause I wouldn't have guessed it. I was just like, what is she talking about? Okay. This is not that kind of podcast. Let's tone down a little bit.
No, I had to pull something out of my head. Cause I, left the other one at home in my other room.
Yeah. That was good though. But I thought I was thinking you for sure went bungee jumping. I don't know why.
No, I'm not that adventurous.
Oh, I'm afraid. I watched my buddy do it, and I went up on the thing, like you can get on the crane or whatever, they bring you all the way up. And yeah. I went, like, I paid the $5 just to go on the crane to go up as he jumped off. And when I got to the top, I'm like, I am not doing that. Look, yeah, for me, my pants will fall off or something. When I
there's no power on earth that could make me do that.
Yeah, that would be scary. So, is there anything else you want to talk about, Rachel? Here, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you have any guilty pleasures? Are you married?
No.
Boyfriend?
Nope.
Okay, I was gonna say, what's that one thing you do when that person walks in? You're like, you don't want it. You're like, I wish you didn't see that.
I do have something like that, but it's probably not as big a deal over there as it is here. Okay. I actually want to see the indie wrestling when I can.
Wrestling?
Yeah.
Like the WWF?
Well, more like Ring of Honor, but it's really independent stuff. It's small. It's like they've got a very set, limited stable, and it's I love it. It's my way of unwinding if I need to.
It's like a big play, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, they have something like that over here in I think the Bay Area or LA. It's like these little underground shows, and they get all crazy, and they have these cool characters come out, and they put on a big show for everyone.
So I actually, and people keep saying, yeah, it's fake, but that's why I like it. I don't like the idea of pummeling someone until they can't see straight. I'd rather watch you choreograph it so that it's actually a show fight than, I don't know, I get more enjoyment over watching Roman Reigns than I do Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, she's a beast, and she just lost.
Yes.
I watched so many clips of her take other chicks out in like 10 seconds, and then all of a sudden, boom, she got hit with that foot. I don't really watch UFC too much, but I have seen that clip many times.
Yeah, it's a bit of a viral sensation now.
Oh, I just got some new Would You Rathers in.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to thank the Horrible Gamers community. The Horrible Gamers. Hey, Rachel, why aren't you in the Horrible Gamers group? You should be in there.
Awesome. Is it on now?
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Oh, I didn't know you were live now.
No, we're not. We're not live now, but I'm on the Facebook group, and the notifications came in. Let's see. Would you rather chip a tooth once a month or stub a toe every day?
Stub a toe. I have a huge fear of the dentist, so anything that keeps me away from them, I'm happy with.
Oh, same here. Even when I have a toothache and I know it's a cavity, I wait so long to the point where I have to go and get like spend $2,000 on getting a tooth worked on because I'm so afraid of the dentist.
Yep.
Yeah, lately I went recently and spent like $4,000 getting some work done. So now I'm less scared to go to the dentist when I need to. It's definitely not worth it. $4,000. I could have got everything taken care of like super early.
Yeah, dentists terrify me. Can't do it. And that's the one thing, that's the horror movie that actually scares me. Anything to do with the mouth. If you start pulling teeth out, nah, can't do it.
what is this one? Hold on. I'm going to try to read this one. I don't know if I'm reading it right. Would you rather play your favorite game of all time perfectly remastered or an upcoming game that hasn't been released yet ahead of time? What does that mean? Or an upcoming game that hasn't been released yet ahead of time? I don't understand what that means.
Ahead of time, yep. Well, it means, say, you could have played Fallout 4 a month ago.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Or you can play Assassin's Creed with no glitches.
Oh, Assassin's Creed. Is that your game, Assassin's Creed?
I do love Assassin's Creed, yeah.
Have you played Syndicate?
I haven't. I've got it, but I haven't played it yet because I'm still doing Arkham Knight. I've had to put it on hold because I've got homework.
Yeah, well, there's way more important things. Arkham Knight's great. Syndicate is amazing. I just played that. I loved it.
I've hit a bit of a glitch in Arkham Knight because I'm at the don't know how to describe it. After you meet up with Lucius Fox,
mm-hmm.
So it slows down and it starts getting really, really choppy, and I don't know why. So I'm gonna have to uninstall it and reinstall it.
I think that might be your settings. It might be too high.
Maybe, but I haven't had any problem with it up until that point.
If you uninstall and reinstall, I think your game saves are still there, right?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, games are weird when you have issues with games because you think everything is broken. Like me, I'll be convinced my whole computer is broken because one game isn't running right. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, those are the two that just came in. But we do have a Facebook group on Facebook.
Yeah, I just sent a request. It's pending at the moment.
Oh, no, let's change that. Oh, God, here it goes. Boom, approve. You're in like Flynn.
I feel all accepted.
You are well accepted. I didn't think you'd want to join. Like, I don't want to be a part of that group. It's going to be insane. Bunch of cool people in there. And yeah, since you're a gamer, you should come on Horrible Gamers someday.
Yeah, I'm no good online because I'm not that good, but I love playing.
Yeah, we just get on. We're just you know, four or five dummies talking about games and trying to have as much fun as we can talking about what games we're playing. Stuff like that, but we would love to have you on anytime you'd want to come on.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, we do ours is Saturday nights, which makes like Sunday for, I don't know what time that would be for you. Maybe that'd be too late, too early. How far? Oh, that would be way too late because we're like 7 p.m. Wait, 7 p.m. on Saturday. Too much math right now.
That'd be like 9 o'clock here in the morning.
Oh, that would be morning. Oh, that's like what we did. Too much thinking. Anyways, Rachel, I really appreciate you came on here. We haven't spoken before, and you said you'd love to do it anytime, and I was like, I'm taking advantage of that.
Yeah. I'm always happy to do these. It's fun.
Yeah, I like to talk to people. This is the only way I can do it. I talk over people, too. I probably cut you off about 15 times.
No, that's fine. I did the same thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Cut me off. I'm going to say something. You go ahead and cut me off. Rachel, hey, what's going on? Why are you talking? Yeah, have fun with it. So let's tell everyone, like, okay, The South Forsaken Part 2 will be coming out next April.
Yes, it will. It will be coming out with a big fanfare down here, and hopefully I'll be able to give a bit of a shout out for you as well. And looking forward to it. Hopefully, book 3 should be out by end of the year next year, or probably April again at the latest. Hopefully.
You got it.
So you can have a sister and a brother book for the first one.
Yeah, Monster John, you hear that? She's doing this just for you. You said it. She's making it happen. That's wonderful. So let's remind everybody again where they could find you.
So on Facebook under The South Forsaken or Rachel Drummond, and on Instagram and Twitter at _ Rachel Drummond, capital R, capital D.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And you guys don't know where you can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, Sean Fuller on Facebook, on Twitter at @awkward_podcast. Don't forget about the Horrible Gamers podcast at Horrible Gamers with the Z, with the ziggity ziggity Z, not like a zombie Z, just a regular Z, just a Z. And just imagine you're saying, like, you're a bee flying through the sky and you're just Horrible Gamers. Voicemail 510-600-3475. Rachel, I need a voicemail someday.
I'll have to put one through. I'll have a number from you though, because I've got a shocking memory for numbers. I don't like numbers like you do.
Yeah, I brought you on the podcast to like get you stuck in all these obligated things like voicemails and Facebook groups and Horrible Gamers. You're like, oh my God, I didn't know you wanted so much. Guys, so follow us, Horrible Gamers, Horribly Awkward. I just want to thank Rachel once again for coming on. This has been really amazing for me, and plus you have the most amazing accent.
I didn't have an accent.
Well, then I have the most shitty accent, and your normal voice just makes mine sound much more shitty. So I appreciate that. You guys, at They Call Me Iams, that's all my personal info. Or gaming, I'm on Xbox, PlayStation, Steam, all that stuff, at They Call Me I'm. So thank you and have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Say something. Tell me the most interesting thing before we leave about Australia that pops in your head. You're like, nothing's interesting because I live here, but
Tell me something interesting.
Yeah, I live here. That's pretty interesting for me.
That's the best answer possible, you guys. If you guys want to meet Rachel, go to Australia and just walk around for a while, and maybe we'll bump into her.
Yeah, we'll bump into each other on the road. That's fine.
Yeah, she probably has a like amazing glow. Just a glow. Like, you can't miss it. You can't miss it from space. Thank you. Good night. Good night.
Bye. I do that a lot with my residents.
No, are you serious?
Well, yeah, you got to make shit up on the spot for that. Mm. I've honestly had to tell a resident that no, they can't climb on the roof because they're doing work up there. And one that I often pull out often is the taxi drivers are actually all on strike, so I'm sorry, we can't call you one. This is for someone who's bedbound and can't move.
That's a really good like excuse, like. I would have said there's zombies up there. They can't get off the roof, but they hang out up there.
They don't respond so well to zombies. I don't know why.
Okay, so let's see. First thing that pops into my mind when I think of Rachel is...
Sorry about that.
Oh, I was like, what am I hearing right now? What was that?
I just opened two tabs randomly.
Yeah. I was opening my Chrome browser. I'm like, where's this coming from?
That was me.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, then really, the theme park with a GoPro would be perfect for Horribly Awkward.
The theme park with a GoPro? Anything with a GoPro and me would be horribly awkward.
Well, see, there you go. That's exactly what it is.
I should do a GoPro when I go use the bathroom. That'd be horribly awkward.
That would be a little too awkward, I think.
That horribly too awkward. Sorry.
Not safe for work.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not.
That's Missy. Named for Doctor Who.
Yeah, you like Doctor Who. I remember I heard you on ZombieCast talking about that. I had never seen Doctor Who, and I only barely heard about it like a year ago.
I'm a big Doctor Who fan.
I have no... What is it?
It's sci-fi. Sci-fi geek.
It's like, so I've seen pictures, like, there's like a dog. There's a new, like, guy every year. Some robots.
Yeah, he regenerates.
I don't know. Sounds so nerdy. You're a nerd.
Yes, I am a nerd. I'm proud of it. It's my own.
I'm just joking. The biggest nerd you'll ever meet.
It's my, what was it? My guilty pleasure.
Oh, your guilty pleasure, see?
Doctor.
I'm still recording, so we're good. I got all this.
He got the dog.
I want to get the dog barking, though. Oh!
I don't think she's going to. Oh. She's still barking if the neighbor's dog got set off. Right now, she's too busy eating something. She shouldn't be eating it. Drop it.
Oh, I can't wait for Suicide Squad.
No, I honestly, all of this hype against Jared Leto's Joker, I don't even care.
No.
I
want to see it. All the hype? Is that what you said?
No, everyone's hating on it.
I think it's amazing.
I love it.
Hey, look, he looks... It's a different Joker. Everyone hates it because Heath Ledger destroyed the Joker. He
Yeah, it's a hard act to follow, but I think if you're going to do it, they're doing it right in that they're not trying to copy it.
Yeah, I like it. It's all... He's colorful. They try to copy it. He's crazy. He's got gold teeth. He's got tattoos. Like, oh, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Harley Quinn too. Yeah, she looks better.